Hey, this is Les from the TV Dudes. Recently, I was lucky enough to talk to actor Rich Ting, who is currently in the Paramount Network miniseries Waco. He's also been seen on NCIS Los Angeles, Supergirl, and will be featured in the upcoming series Warrior, just recently announced. We had a great chat, and I hope you enjoy. Hey, Rich.
How you doing, lad?
Doing great. Thanks so much for taking time to talk to me today. I know you're having an exciting week.
Every week's exciting. It's all good. I love doing this. So thank you for having me on.
So Waco just premiered. What was it like getting to research that role or getting to play a, you know, based on a real person?
Well, first, you know, any time that I'm asked and then tasked to play a real character, you know, it's the ultimate honor to represent either a fallen hero or someone that served in the U.S. military like Lon Horiuchi did, you know, who I currently play in this show, Waco, who was a former U.S. Army and FBI HRT hostage rescue team sniper. So anytime I prep for these roles, I try to keep it simple. You know, I do as much personal research I can on the individual character, stemming from their personal background to their education to geographics, where they grew up, where did they live, where their family from. I try to reach out to family and friends. That can be a little bit sensitive sometimes due to the nature of the current situation. But fortunately for me, on Waco, you know, with our director John Dowdle and producer Drew Dowdle, you know, they were so specific and about what they wanted me to convey in each of the specific scenes that they chose for the series, in which Lon had a definite impact on. At the same time, they were specific. They also gave me freedom to do what I need to do within the character. You know, I always tell people that I try to load myself up with as much knowledge and depth as I can prior to showing up on the day of the set, so that when I am on a live set and it is on the day and the director calls action, all that research and all that loading, I call it, kind of seeps through my body, and I'm able to adjust as well, given the cameras, given the direction by the director and the producers, and just to live in that moment.
You had worked with a couple of your co-stars on this. Taylor Kitsch was in Lone Survivor with you, and then Melissa Benoist, you did a turn on Supergirl.
Yeah.
How was it being in makeup for Supergirl? Had you had to do much prosthetic type stuff before?
I have done some. However, I played Metallo on this past season of Supergirl. And for those of us who are not educated in that world, Metallo is the human turned cyborg that has this kryptonite chest plate, basically. He has a kryptonite heart. And obviously, kryptonite is Superman and Supergirl's weakness. So for that show, I was in a half-body prosthetic, probably from the neck all the way down to the waist. And that was so cool. I mean, to have the makeup and prosthetics guys work on me the way they did, and to build this custom body piece with this electronic gadget that had the green kryptonite light, and I can control it to turn it on, turn it off, to dim it. You know, at the end of the day, with all the special effects and all the CG stuff, I mean, it really was believable. So that was definitely cool to work on that show.
I know you'd gotten into acting, you'd said in college. What was there something specifically that caught your eye about it? Was there a play you saw or something that gave you that bug?
Actually, well, the bug kind of got me when I was a kid, watching, you know, Bruce Lee movies at the age of 3 and growing up in predominantly non-Asian environments. I'd say a lot of my friends and childhood classmates, you know, they always had idols or heroes that they would want to be, you know, from seeing them on the small screen or in the movie theaters. And, you know, for me, being a fourth generation Asian American kid at the time, I was kind of lost. You know, there was Bruce Lee, there was Jackie Chan, you know, and then later there was people like Jet Li and stuff. But as a kid, I never found that connection to an Asian American leading man. I always asked myself, you know, where is the Asian American leading man? Where is Where's the lead actor who can play the fireman, the cop, the lawyer, the husband, the boyfriend, the love interest? You know, I never saw that. And so growing up, that kind of struck me as odd, even at a young age. And I kind of got the fire and the kind of the dream started happening then, you know, involving, well, what if I could do that? What if I could become that first Asian American leading man and fill those roles in the future? So I always had that in the back of my head. I always loved performing. I'm having a martial arts background. I participated in a bunch of demonstrations and talent shows. And I trained at Ernie Reyes' West Coast Taekwondo when I was a kid. I earned my black belt there at the age of 12. And, you know, that studio is really known for their performance and their demo team. So that got me comfortable performing in front of crowds. And then obviously being an athlete, you know, I was on the court, I was on the football field, I was on the baseball diamond, I was on the track. And I was always used to being in front of an audience. So ironically, when I got the opportunity to go and play football at Yale, you know, I majored in humanities and a history major, and I did all my pre-med requirements. But the one thing I did not take full advantage of, which was their Yale School of Drama, which is so famous and so well-known throughout the world. You know, I did have the chance to audit classes there just for fun, but I was so busy with my football career, with my history major, and with my pre-med stuff that I didn't take looking back now, I didn't take advantage of what I think I should have did at the time. But, you know, moving forward, I kept going to acting classes and kind of using it as like a hobby. You know, I used to call it my quote unquote, my yoga back in the day where, you know, when I was in grad school, I went to law school and MBA school later. And, you know, I'd had all this time now that I didn't have football from, you know, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. every day and games on the weekends. And I had this abundance of time. And, like, you can only work out so much, right? So I started taking acting classes and really kind of pursuing the craft as a hobby, let's say. And then, I mean, you know, the world and the universe has a very weird way of working out where I look back now and I realize I was prepping and training this whole time to have this career in Hollywood as an actor. So the bug didn't hit me actually in college, ironically. It hit me when I was a really young kid. And you know, it's so cliche to say if you want something and you work hard, then, you know, anything's possible. But, you know, by all means, did I not foresee myself doing what I'm doing full time, you know, 30 years ago, let's say. So it is a dream come true. And that's why I said at the beginning of this interview that, you know, every week is exciting for me because not only am I working constantly now, but, you know, I don't know what that next show or that next feature is going to be.
Well, I know one thing you've got coming up that I'm excited about is Warrior, and in it you're getting to play Bolo.
Yes.
And am I right that character is named for Bolo Young?
Yes, it is. It is a tribute to the original man himself, the legend himself, Bolo Young. So, I mean, Warrior to me. Well, first, yes, you're right. HBO Cinemax has bought season one, so we are well into that right now. I leave to Cape Town in a week to finish filming episodes 2 through 10. This has been a tremendous opportunity and such a humbling experience for me to work with not only Bruce Lee's real daughter, Shannon Lee, who's our executive producer, but also executive producer and our director, Justin Lin, who's known from the Fast and Furious series and as well as Star Trek and many more feature films with his partner, Danielle Woodrow, and our writer, Jonathan Tropper, most well known for Banshee, that was also on Cinemax. To be inspired at the age of 4 to pursue martial arts because of Bruce Lee, to watch him on television and self-teach myself weapons that he used in his films like the nunchucks at a young age, and to follow his philosophies growing up. I mean, Bruce Lee was not only a martial arts, he was a philosopher. His knowledge and his words were so powerful that they still hold true to today. And it comes full circle. You know, Bolo was a close friend of Bruce back in the day. He obviously was in a bunch of his movies with him and later had a Hollywood career because of Bruce. And, you know, was later known as Chung Lee in Bloodsport. To have the opportunity in 2018 to not only play the character of Bolo and give tribute to this guy and this martial arts legend, but to play him in a story created, inspired, and it was Bruce Lee's vision before he died. You know, I can't tell you how full circle this has gone for me. You know, from I would have never thought of the 4-year-old kid watching Enter the Dragon with both Bruce and Bolo, and being inspired to do so many things because of these two men in my career, ranging from starting martial arts to working out and trying to be the big Asian guy like Bolo represented to so many of us. Then to come in 2018 and to be not only be that character, but to be in a piece that was created by the most famous and legendary martial artist of all time, Bruce Lee. I mean, I can't put into words what I'm feeling every day as I train and I prep for this role. It's truly been the pinnacle of my career so far.
Dreaming ahead with reboots all the rage. I think they just announced the Greatest American Hero 70s show. They're going to reboot it with an Indian American woman as the lead. Are there any shows that you grew up with as a kid that didn't have that male Asian lead that you would love to see rebooted with you?
Gosh, you know, someone recently asked me a question about, you know, what shows from my childhood that I grew up watching. And I haven't actually thought of it from your question's point of view, but I mean, some of my favorite shows as a kid was obviously Chips, TJ Hooker, you know, and, those, you know, Knight Rider. So yeah, I mean, I would love to, have them insert an Asian American lead in any of those. I've always wanted to play a cop. I've always wanted to play a hero. Ironically, coming back from Cape Town after we shot the pilot for Warrior, I actually had the opportunity to sit next to David Hasselhoff from Knight Rider. So for you to ask me that now, and we had a long talk about him actually bringing back Knight Rider at the time, and you know, never thought anything about it. I was just kind of starstruck just because, you know, David Hasselhoff, I remember him from obviously Baywatch and Knight Rider and all those other things he's done throughout his career. So that was like a cool treat for me. But those are some shows that come out of right off the top of my head regarding what I used to watch as a kid. And I would jump at any opportunity to be a lead in any of those pieces if they brought them back. That would be great.
We just got to get Justin Lin to put you in a cool car with a good computer. And you'll be ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt. No doubt.
You had mentioned earlier going to Yale. I know you played football there. Was it kind of a culture shock to go from that kind of school, that level of schooling, back to Hollywood or back to L.A.?
Well, to be perfectly honest, it was a roller coaster from probably my high school. You know, I went to two different high schools. I ended up graduating from an inner city high school in San Francisco that was well known for their athletics. And, you know, obviously their football team was the reason why I transferred at the time. And that school was predominantly African-American and very minority dominated. So to go from an inner city San Francisco school to Yale University, where I was one of the only minorities on the football team. And, you know, the regular student body, a lot of them came from prep schools, and a lot of them came from schools that academically prepared them from a very young age to go to. So right there, not only being a West Coast kid from L.A. and going to high school in San Francisco, to all of a sudden being in New Haven, Connecticut on the East Coast and in one of the tri-states in New England, that was a little bit more than I could handle, to be honest with you. I mean, coming from California, you know, 50 degrees was freezing to me. You know, that was as cold as it got in San Francisco. And then to go to Yale and 50 degrees was warm to 90% of my teammates. You know, and I remember playing against Harvard my freshman year as our final game of the season. And with the wind chill factor, I think it was like 15 below. You know, I just thought it was stupid. Coaches telling me to warm up, my toes are frozen. You know, how do you warm up when you're wearing the same gear that you would wear in 90 degree weather? You know, granted we have sleeves on, granted we have, you know, hand warmers and all that stuff, but you're basically wearing the same equipment and the same layering. So how do you warm up? You know, so that was my culture experience. And obviously, you know, academically, Yale, you know, the name speaks for itself. But I never encountered waking up and having to walk through snow to get to my chemistry class, as if chemistry wasn't hard enough. You know what I mean? So from California to New England, that was culture shock. So concluding my academic career in New Haven and coming back to, let's say, California later in life, that was definitely not culture shock. That was a homecoming. that was a long overdue homecoming. You know, I always knew I was going to end up being back on the West Coast eventually, regardless of what work I decided to pursue. So that always was a comfort for me, knowing there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is sunshine. There is going to be 70 degree weather in the winter for me in the near future. So I would say the culture shock came more from the high school to college transition than from the postgraduate to the current Hollywood career that I'm in now.
I know you've done quite a bit of stunt work as well. Are there any particularly craziest stunts that still stand out in your mind? I can't believe I got to do that on a day job.
Yes. Fortunately for me, I was grandfathered into the stunt business through my cousin and I have uncles that are also big stunt coordinators in the business that have followed me throughout my athletic career and obviously have known me growing up in my skill level, my size, my height, my look, everything. So when the opportunity came up in 2007 to get hired for stunts on these major feature films, it was an opportunity of a lifetime for me to basically be introduced to the entertainment world and to the film world. I took it as an opportunity to educate myself on the culture of filming, the behind the scenes, the things that you don't see and you can't learn in a studio or in a workshop. Being on set with directors, with actors, with producers, you know, being in front of a live crew, working under a budget, having time constraints, working with daylight, working with studio light, like all these different things, you never get the real experience unless you're really on a live set. So for me, it wasn't so much about working on these big productions as it was the education that I received just being on set. There's three big moments in my life as a stunt man that, you know, I only did stunts for about a year and a half before I got my opportunity to cross over full time to an actor and take on more acting roles predominantly. But, you know, the first one would definitely be when I got to work with Gerard Butler on the film Gamer. I have a scene where I run up a flight of stairs and he ends up blasting me at the top of the staircase and I'm high pulled by two guys below on a rig that are all rigged up. And, you know, I fall down the whole staircase and that was cool the first time. I didn't know we were going to do it 23 times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was, you know, after the first one, I'm like, yeah, that was great. And then let's go again. And, there, you know, that's basically what stunts is about. You know, you crash hard and you go full out, but you never know how many times you're going to have to do it. So that stands out just because at the end, I remember Jerry coming up to me being like, well, I can't kill you anymore, can I? You know, and I'm like, I hope not, because my shoulder's pretty much dead right now and my nerves are all gone, but... Now that was cool just because it was my first major gig, you know, with an A-list actor like Gerard Butler. And then, you know, the second one has to be just working on Salt with Angelina Jolie. I mean, with the queen herself, and that wasn't so much the scene. That was the opportunity to meet her and to work with her and to get to know her. I mean, they reserved a suite at the Waldorf Astoria for us in New York. It turned into a full workout studio, and it basically was just me and Angie and our stunt coordinator. You know, and the best thing that I take away from this is I'm there with the stunt coordinator, and security tells me, you know, Angelina's coming up. She comes in, black boots, black tights, black tee, and she comes over and she smiles and she goes, "Hi, I'm Angelina. Thank you so much for helping me out on this one." You know, and the fact that she introduced me is what actually caught me off guard.
Yeah.
You know, who doesn't know this lady, right? So, you know, from that point on, that basically set the tone for the rest of the shoot just because that's who she really was and still is, you know, and she's a real person. She's super sweet, super warm, one of the nice people I've met on set, and it was an ultimate privilege to work with her. You know, and then the last story is just had the opportunity to work on Crank with Jason Statham, and he sidekicks me out of a two-story house in downtown L.A. That was cool until I over-rotated, you know, after I got kicked out the window, bounced off the roof, and I'm free-falling to a catcher pit that was built to obviously catch me. But what happened was the catcher was built too soft, and I ended up basically, as we call it, tacoing. So my knees came to my face, and I was wearing all my hard shin pads and knee pads, and I broke my own orbital socket and my nose and woke up in the hospital.
Oh.
So that was memorable, but obviously wasn't too fun.
Yeah.
I was supposed to get up from the crash and run away from Jason in the scene. Obviously, I didn't really make it too far after I landed because I was out. But after that stunt, I kind of pulled back on my high fall career, to say the least. But overall, I can't say enough regarding, you know, just my introduction to the business through stunts. I think it's one of the most humbling and educating ways to enter the entertainment industry, just because, you know, the stuntmen in Hollywood really do not get enough credit for what they do and what they go through, because at the end of the day, it's the action that makes the story. It's the action that makes the scene. It makes the movie. It makes it interesting and amazing. That's what people want to see. But what people don't understand are the risks that all these stunt guys take every day they're on set. You know, they wake up, they go to set. They don't know if they're going to get hit by a car, if they're going to fall off a roof, if they're going to have to, you know, get high pulled into a brick wall, you know, just for one shot. You know, and I think all credit needs to be given to these stunt guys, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that make the action scenes come to life. You know, now being on the other side as an actor, you know, I have a double. I have all the necessary safety precautions to protect me. And, you know, coming into the industry as a stuntman, I never take for granted what these guys do and how amazing they make every production look. So all the respect and praise goes to these guys for sure.
Well, man, thank you for taking so much time to talk to me today. I really appreciate it. People can see you coming up, or right now can see you in Waco, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you in Warrior.
I appreciate the time. Thank you so much for having me on. It was great.
Thanks. Have an awesome rest of your day, man.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter at TV Dudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.